All right, now folic acid comes from liver, yeast, fruits, leafy vegetables, eggs, and milk. It is a very fragile vitamin, which means that it has a tendency to break down when you cook it or when you expose it to light for long periods of time. So if you want to increase the amounts of folic acid in your egg, in your milk, what would you want to do? How do you want to store your milk? In the dark. So what kind of carton? Opaque carton. You also would like to get non-pasteurized because pasteurized is heated. So, but unfortunately in this country, you can't unless you own the cow. Folic acid is responsible for DNA and RNA and erythrocyte maturation. It does not require intrinsic factor. It's absorbed in the upper small intestine, and it is minimally stored. You have maybe 3 to 6 months tops stored in your body. So a person with folic acid deficiency is going to get anemia much quicker than someone with B12 deficiency. Pregnancy increases folic acid demand, which is why we recommend that all women of childbearing age be on folic acid. Now, why do we say childbearing age rather than just wanting to have a child or trying to have a child? Because accidents happen. And why else? When do people usually find out that they're pregnant? 3 months in? I wondered why I was feeling a little funny. All right, there are some people who find out months afterwards, but usually you're not going to find out at least for 3 to 4 weeks. Most people is around 4 to 6 weeks when they find out. Now, folic acid is required for your little baby embryo's formation of the neural tube. Does that sound familiar? The neural tube eventually becomes the spinal cord. Now, if you don't have good spinal cord production, then you end up with a baby who has a problem called spina bifida. And they're going to have paralysis below wherever their spinal cord defect is. So the reason we want women of childbearing age to be on folic acid is because by the time you know you're pregnant, the neural tube is just about done forming, so the damage is already done if you don't have enough folic acid. So 800, I think it's milligrams, of folic acid is the recommended dose for women of childbearing age. For everyone else, it's 400.
I heard folic acid or any vitamin.
There's some evidence suggesting that, yes. Do you like that answer? Okay. All right. If you need to go to the bathroom, just slip out and come back in. Took the initiative. All right. Iron. Iron comes from things like liver. Now, have you noticed that liver has all of the things we've been talking about? It is the most disgusting food in the world, but it's got a ton of stuff in it. Now, the one thing you have to be careful about. The larger the animal, the more toxic their livers are. Like, if you eat bear liver, you'll die. Yeah. And the smaller the animal, the less time, and the younger it is, the less time their liver has had to acquire tastes. So chicken liver doesn't taste nearly as bad as beef liver. But if you ask me, they're all just disgusting. Anyway, liver. Red meat, dried fruit. What kind of dried fruit in particular? What is the thing we think about? What's the number one dried fruit in this country? Raisins. Dark green leafy vegetables like I eat my spinach. Enriched bread and cereal. Now, almost all bread in this country is enriched with iron, and all cereal is enriched with iron. So, because little kids eat a lot of bread because they like their little peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and they eat a lot of cereal. Almost all cereal and bread in this country is enriched with iron. Now, vitamin C is required for absorption of iron. So you should also have adequate vitamin C intake. Iron is critical for hemoglobin synthesis. About 67% of it in your body is bound to heme, to make hemoglobin. 30% of it is stored as ferritin. So you'll probably have a test question somewhere that's going to ask, if you wanted to check this patient's long-term iron stores, you should check which of the following blood levels. And you would click on ferritin. And about 3% is lost daily in the urine, sweat, bile, and epithelial cells of the gut. All right, iron cycle. Iron comes in through the mouth and then is going to be absorbed in the small bowel, the duodenum and proximal jejunum, if that's how they're pronounced, I never know. In order to absorb iron, you need a carrier molecule. That carrier molecule is called transferrin. It's absorbed into the blood, and then it's going to be transported to the bone marrow, where it's going to become red blood cells, hemoglobin. It's going to be removed by the MPS, which stands for the macrophage phagocytic system, located in the liver and spleen. So in your liver and spleen, you've got a ton of macrophages just hanging out, waiting for stuff to float by in the blood, and they go, that's good, I'll try that. Should I eat this? So the macrophage phagocyte system and the spleen and liver are going to remove those we call them senescent, dead, almost dead red blood cells, eat them, and then spit out pieces of the hemoglobin. Those pieces are then going to be recycled for the most part and used again in more red blood cells. Some of that is going to be stored in ferritin. Some of it is going to be broken down into hemosiderin and then eventually removed from the liver. That's no good. All right. So hemosiderin breaks down into what we call bilirubin. And bilirubin is going to be excreted by what organ? The liver. And where is it going to be excreted to? Bilirubin. Bile. And it's what's going to make your stool have the characteristic brown look that it has. If you have someone who's not secreting bile properly, maybe they don't have a biliary tract or they're having whatever the problem is, the stools will look gray. Kind of like Fernanda's sweatshirt there. Do you know what geographical bias is in test making? All right, let me ask you this question. If I ask you to think of a word that goes along with silo, what would you think of? Okay, so if you're up north, you think missile silo, especially if you live in Minnesota, because that's where they all are. If you live in the west, you think grain. Like if you live in Kansas, Oklahoma, you think grain. So depending on where a person lives, they'll think different things. So when I was in nursing school, we were asked a question, if you don't have enough bile, that will cause. And the correct answer was supposed to be clay-colored stools because clay is gray. But the problem was everyone who lives in a place where clay is red, they got that question wrong. So it was an example of geographical bias.
That's awful. That's awful.
We did get a point back for that. Thank you for your concern. All right, so again, for those of you who like pictures. Where is clay gray? Modeling clay is gray. Have you ever taken like ceramics or pottery? You use.
That's the clay that you're supposed to think of.
Natural clay is red, isn't it?
No, it just depends where you are. Geographical, it's all geographic location. I'll look it up and find where the gray clay comes from.
Show me the gray clay. I
want to
go.
All right. so much fun. All right. So it would be gray. There you go. It's gray in Lake Michigan. You see, it's all about Michigan. Huh, Buckeye? All right. Who would name their team after a poisonous nut? Okay, back to our story. We gotta continue here. All right, so this diagram does not contain the absorption part. It just assumes that the iron magically appears in the liver. All right, so we make the red blood cells with the iron. Iron is going to be turn into hemoglobin. It'll be removed in the liver and spleen, broken up into heme, which will in turn break down into bilirubin plus iron. Some of that iron will be lost. Some of it will be recycled back into the liver, where it will go back over to the bone. All right, regulation of hematopoiesis. Erythropoietin released from the kidney in response to tissue hypoxia. Now, which tissue is it that's going to be hypoxic, that's going to start the release of erythropoietin? What? No. It's so obvious. It's like right in front of your face. What? The kidney. Yes. So the kidney secretes it. It's the kidney's hypoxia that's going to cause it to be secreted. Yeah. All right. Now think of it this way. How many of you here have a mother? Okay. Now, if you have a mother, I'm sure sometime in your life you've heard this statement: "I'm cold, put on a sweater." I'm cold, you come inside and stop playing out in the snow. Yeah, so mothers have this bizarre thinking where if they're cold, you putting on a sweater is going to make them warm. I don't understand it. Okay. So in this case, we have the kidney says, "Hey, I don't have enough oxygen," and it tells the blood, "Produce more oxygen." That doesn't really fit the mother. It's just a funny story. It's just a funny jab at mothers. If you are a mother, I'm sorry, but I'm sure you've done that to your kid or will do that to your kid someday. You're like, "I'm not going to do that to my kid." All right, destruction of senescent erythrocytes. When the term for a red blood cell that's reached the end of its life cycle is senescent. So it's about to die. It's senile, senescent. They're destroyed by macrophages in the spleen and liver. The globin is broken down into amino acids and recycled. The heme is going to be broken down into porphyrin, which will be reduced into unconjugated free bilirubin. That'll be transported to the liver by albumin, where the bilirubin will be conjugated by the liver. Once it's conjugated, it will be excreted in the bile, and then it will be transformed in the intestine by bacteria into urobilinogen. Urobilinogen will then be secreted by the feces, primarily, giving it the characteristic reddish-brown color. And a small amount of it will be reabsorbed and then excreted by the kidneys. And here's a picture of how that works. All right. Aging of the hematologic system. As a person gets older, their blood composition does not change. Equal amounts of cells to water. But they're going to have decreased iron because they're going to have decreased intrinsic factor. They're going to have less B12 absorption. They're also going to have decreased total iron binding capacity, which means they won't be able to bind as much iron. They won't be able to deliver as much iron. So as a result, those patients are going to need higher levels of B12 and iron. The erythrocyte membrane becomes more brittle, which means they're more likely to break down soon, too quickly. So the lifespan is going to decrease. Lymphocyte function decreases as well. So their white blood cells don't work quite as well. They're more at risk for infections. Platelet numbers do not change, but they are they have itchy trigger fingers. So they're more likely to degranulate and cause clots. You also have increased fibrinogen levels and clotting factors, which is also going to enhance the clotting ability. So patients who are older are going to have typically less red blood cell function because of decreased B12 and iron absorption. They're going to have more fragile red blood cells, which is going to cause them to break down more quickly. They're going to have white blood cell function decrease, which is going to put them more at risk for infections. And they're going to clot more often. And that's it for the normal physiology. Woo-hoo! So here are our complete blood cell count numbers. These should be the same as the ones on that sheet, on your lab value sheet, and on the serum electrolyte serum blood count sheet. So what we're going to do. Yes, you do need to memorize them. I know. I know. Now, on the test, when I ask you, yes, ma'am. No, go by the ones on the sheet. Yes.
What sheet? What is going on by this sheet? Wait.
Yeah. I haven't updated the slide. Yeah, those should be the same as on your worksheet. Yes.
Oh, so that's correct.
Yeah. All right. Now, what I would like for you to do, I would like for us to look up here for a moment. This isn't going to be as hard as you think. Okay, so white blood